Good Friday to one and all. It's his time on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, and it's time to go where we always do on Friday mornings at this time, to the Creation Club. Pastor Warren Worth joins us from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Buzz.
Well, we have plenty of things going on this Friday. Sometimes we're a little bit slow, but it looks like we've got plenty happening in the world of creation for the Creation Club this week.
That is the truth. First of all, we'd like to begin with an announcement for the monthly event of the Missouri Association for Creation. They'll be meeting Monday, April 11th at Gateway Christian Church. That's located at 1951 De Pere Road here in the St. Louis area, just west of Interstate 270. At 6:30 p.m., they'll have an early bird video, and speakers will be talking about their Missouri Association for Creation Homeschool Day at the Zoo. This becomes something they've done as a signature event. They've got one coming up again here later in April, April 26 and 27, and they have some videos of previous times when they did this, and so that would be something encouraging to families who homeschool their children. And then the main event is at 7:15. Stephen Grimes will be talking about radiometric dating and its implications for the age of the Earth. You know, often people consider radiometric dating as absolute dating, as if it's somehow, you know, a proven hard fact. And here you have a one-hour talk that will focus on the basic mechanics and assumptions of radiometric dating and radiocarbon dating methods. It will answer such questions as, how does this work? What can be dated with these methods? Are they ever wrong? How about carbon dating? What bearing does this all have on the creation versus evolution debate? So that should be well worth your time. So if you're in the St. Louis area, Monday, April 11th, 6:30 p.m., the early bird discussion on the homeschool day at the zoo, and 7:15, the main event, which is about radiometric dating, carbon-14 dating, that kind of thing, and its implications for the age of the Earth and the whole creation versus evolution debate. Again, that's at Gateway Christian Church, 1951 De Pere Road, Monday, April 11th, starting at 6:30. If you're not in the St. Louis area when we make these little announcements, don't despair. The same kind of information is available at the website for Answers in Genesis, answersingenesis.org. They have a store there where you can buy books and DVDs that explain these things about carbon-14 dating, radiometric dating, that kind of thing, the age of the Earth, how do we know what we know, and what are the assumptions there, and what does this have to do with what the Bible teaches? So that's always a helpful resource to go to. They also have articles that you can download free on that same subject. So whether you go to the meeting Monday at the Gateway Christian Church or check it out at Answers in Genesis, lots of helpful information there to understand what often is of concern to people when they wonder, what do you say when somebody says this was dated this old by carbon-14 or something like that.
So, and you don't have to worry about Steve Grimes being somebody who's not going to get it. He gets it because he's got such a good background, but he's also a member at Zion Lutheran in Harvester, Missouri, so he can meld things together for you.
Very good. Thank you for that additional information about the speaker, Steve Grimes. Yes, he's well-educated in science and also, like you said, a member of one of our sister Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations in Harvester, Missouri.
Okay.
Very good. So we're going to move on to the next thing at our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Reporter. That's a newspaper and also an online news source that pastors get and congregations receive as well. There were a couple of things that caught my attention just over the last day or so. There was an article on the online version of the Reporter that was talking about a majority of people in Scotland do not identify as religious any longer. I think it was 52% said they don't identify with any religion. And we've been hearing a lot about that in the United States, too. When I looked at the paper version of the Reporter that just came into my mailbox the other day, right in the middle, there's a huge two-page spread that says, are we losing the millennial generation? Pew study indicates dramatic rise in unchurched adults. According to a recent study conducted by the Pew Research Center, the number of religiously unaffiliated adults in the United States has increased by about 19 million since 2007. There are now an estimated 56 million religiously unaffiliated adults in the United States. As the millennial generation enters adulthood, its members display much lower levels of religious affiliation, including less connection with Christian churches than older generations, the study says. So, and then they have some graphics here. They said 36% of younger millennials, that is those ages 18 to 24, do not affiliate with a church. 34% of those who are ages 25 to 33 do not associate with a church. And even with older people, boomers like me, the numbers of those who are saying that they have no religion, that actually is increasing somewhat from what it had been before. It's up to 17% when last checked in the surveys. And so the rest of that two-page spread is like, what can we do about this? And there's good news that the church can do something about it. And, you know, practicing your religion every day as a family is an important part of that. Passing on the faith by teaching your children and taking them to church, not just sending them, but bringing them, mom and dad coming with their children, is important too. And it says, according to the study, there has been positive growth among churches that clearly teach the truth of Scripture without compromising due to secular pressures in society. And again, it says millennials want their faith to be serious and substantial, not entertaining. This generation already is entertained from every angle. So there's a lot about that, and you can check that out if you have the newspaper, the Reporter, Lutheran Church Missouri Center Reporter. This is the April 2016 edition of that, and also the news from the LCMS News, I think it was yesterday that it came out, that also had information about the surveys in Scotland and how drastically religious affiliation and especially membership in the Church of Scotland has dropped markedly in Scotland. You know, Ken Ham has written about this too. He has a book called Already Gone, and he links the rapid decline in religious affiliation and people's commitment to Scripture to people's keeping in on the truth of Scripture, beginning with Genesis. And there's a story, I had it up a minute ago, now I need to go back and find it. Here we go. It's in, if you go to answersingenesis.org, they had an article called Deep Time and Churches Compromise, Historical Background. The article is actually a chapter from a book, and it was written by Dr. Terry Mortensen, and it's longer than we have time to get into completely in this time that we have this morning. But if you check it out, he basically talks about where did this idea of millions and billions of years come from anyway. It's certainly not biblical. And for a long, long time, you know, even people who were secular scientists accepted the biblical framework of how old the earth was, you know, about 6,000 years and so forth. But eventually, about 200 years ago, people began to have this idea that instead of having the great flood of Noah's day being the way you would explain where the fossils and the rocks came from and so forth, people got this idea of uniformitarianism, which is to say the processes that you see happening today must have been what formed things in the past. And so in the distant past, things like fossils and stuff, instead of being formed by the great catastrophe of Noah's flood, they try to explain them in terms of long periods of time and gradual accumulation of sediments and this sort of thing. And so in his article, he explains where these ideas came from, how they took hold. There was a scientist by the name of Lyell who was influential, a geologist. And basically, once he and others began to spread this idea of uniformitarianism, that instead of a great catastrophe like Noah's flood being how you would explain the rock layers and the fossils in the rock layers, but instead of that you have millions and billions of years of time and gradual, slow processes that would be the way you would explain the formation of rocks and so forth, then even the church began to compromise on this. They caved instead of standing firm on the truth of God's word and came up with this idea, well, you know, maybe the earth is much, much older than the Bible says, and maybe we didn't come from the Adam and Eve the way the Bible describes it. And so pretty soon the church corrupted its ideas about where we came from, the stories of Genesis, whether that's true or not, and it's had a disastrous effect on Christianity. And many churches have abandoned the truth of Genesis, and with that have then gone on to deny other major doctrines, not only creation, the fall, and so forth, but also it affects whether you teach the gospel. You know, very often churches that abandon the teaching of a literal Adam and Eve and a literal fall into sin also abandon eventually the idea that Jesus is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, who died on Calvary's cross as the atoning sacrifice for our sins, who really rose bodily from the grave on the third day, as Scripture teaches. You know, it's absolutely disastrous. And the end of this particular article by Dr. Mortensen, he has a little story that kind of illustrates that point. He says, the scriptural geologists of the early 19th century opposed old Earth geological theories, not only because the theories reflected erroneous scientific reasoning and were contrary to the scripture, but also because the scriptural geologists believed that the Christian compromise with such theories would eventually have a catastrophic effect on the health of the church and her witness to a lost world. Henry Cole, an Anglican minister, wrote, "Many revered geologists, however, would evince their reverence for the divine revelation by making a distinction between the historical and its moral portions, and maintaining that the latter only is inspired and absolute truth, but that the former is not so, and therefore is open to any latitude of philosophic and scientific interpretation, modification, or denial. According to these impious and infidel modifiers and separators, there is not one-third of the Bible, of the Word of God, that is inspired, for not more, nor perhaps so much of that Word is occupied in abstract moral revelation, instruction, and precept. The other two-thirds, therefore, are open to any scientific modification and interpretation, or, if scientifically required, to a total denial. It may, however, be safely asserted that whoever professedly before men disbelieves the inspiration of any part of revelation disbelieves in the sight of God its inspiration altogether. What the consequences of such things must be to a revelation-possessing land, time will rapidly and awfully unfold in its opening pages of national skepticism, infidelity, and apostasy, and of God's righteous vengeance on the same." Wow, that was a pretty insightful thing, and
yeah,
it's pretty much come to pass, has it not, that people who begin to say, well, we're not going to believe the historicity of the Bible, we're only going to believe the moral precepts as we understand them, and everything else we're going to modify or even deny based on our better scientific knowledge, basically, you know, it leads to nations and church bodies being unfaithful to God's word, being skeptical, and losing the faith altogether. And he gives an example of that in a man by the name of Charles Templeton, who lived from 1915 to the year 2001. He was a contemporary and friend of Billy Graham. Many considered him to be even more gifted than Billy Graham. He led many people to Christ as he preached to thousands in North America and Britain. But in the 1940s, he went to Princeton Seminary, which by that time had been taken over by liberals who denied the truth of the Bible. Templeton was convinced by his professors that he must accept evolution and millions of years. This destroyed his faith in the foundational book of the Bible and undermined his faith in the gospel itself. After seminary, he preached for a few more years, but later it shattered his faith. He left the ministry, went on into journalism. He died in 2001 as a miserable atheist. By 1996, he published a book called Farewell to God, My Reasons for Rejecting the Christian Faith. At the conclusion of that book, he wrote, "I believe that there is no supreme being with human attributes, no God in the biblical sense, but that life is the result of timeless evolutionary forces having reached its present transient state over millions of years. False ideas have terrible consequences. It is time for the church, especially her leaders and scholars, to stop ignoring the age of the earth and the scientific evidence that increasingly vindicates the Word of God. The church must repent of her compromise with millions of years, with the attendant ignoring or rejection of the global Noachian flood, and once again believe and preach the literal truth of Genesis chapters 1 through 11. And I think that's pretty insightful, and we'd like to remind our readers how this ties into this whole concern about, are we going to lose the millennials? I think we need, because God's word is true, we should preach it as truth from beginning to end, and as we focus on the gospel of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, that we should agree with what Jesus says about Genesis, agree with what Jesus teaches about the reality of Adam and Eve, marriage as one man and one woman as taught in the Bible, the flood of Noah's day, and what all that has to do with his message of repentance and believing in him for the forgiveness of sins.
Well, and that's plenty right there, isn't it?
It certainly is.
We'll revisit the Creation Club again next week. Andy should be back next Friday morning. Thank you, Pastor Warren Worth from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold. Get the right place.
Good. Have a good day.
Thank you so much. Creation Club again next Friday, as we do each and every week on Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News. Coming up, it's Morning Prayer After News.